We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
We've been bringing you a series of messages from the Gospel of John. By the way, I'd like to suggest to you that you get your Bible and read through the Gospel of John about five times. I don't mean it one sitting. I mean just sit down and read it through and then reread it and reread it and reread it and keep reading it till you read it through about five times, the Gospel of John. It's so wonderful. Gives you such a vision of the Lord and so many marvelous truths, spiritual truths. It'll be so stimulating to you and such a blessing to you. Now let's notice the verses we've been talking to you about in the 16th chapter. Our Lord is talking about going away, you know. He's telling them that he would not leave them without comfort. He'd send them a comforter. Now, he'd send someone to represent him, you know, to bring a message for him, to talk to them about him. But were you ever lonely for somebody? You miss somebody very greatly. And then somebody comes to you and talks to you about that person. You know, you're still lonely, maybe. A little sad that somebody's gone away, but it's such a comfort to you to talk to somebody. I've often said to my own family, if I could just once in a while sit down and talk to somebody that I knew when I was a boy, you see. If I could just talk to somebody, you see. Somebody that knew what I knew and knew the experiences I had when I was a boy. You get a little lonely when you get older, you know. But it's nice to have somebody that does know something about your experiences. They'll keep reminding you of these experiences. It's a comfort to you to have somebody talk to you. Suppose I could run into somebody that said, you know, I knew your mother. And, you know, I remember she said so and so and so and so. What it would mean to us, see? What does it mean to my heart, see? All right, now the Lord is going away. He'd been with them in bodily form. He'd been with them. He'd eaten with them, traveled with them, walked with them, fellowship with them. Now he's going away. Now I said, I won't leave you without comfort, though. I'll send somebody to talk to you, see? Somebody to be with you. I'll send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. He'll come down and he'll be with you. He really will be in you, really. I've been with you, but he'll be in you. You'll have something in your heart. Something that you don't exactly have now. You have me here with you. But in the person of the Holy Spirit, I'll come back and be in you, see? And that's exactly what happens. You take every Christian's body as a temple of the Holy Ghost. Paul wrote the Corinthians and said, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? And you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Now these Corinthian Christians weren't all they ought to be. See, they didn't have to pray the Holy Ghost to come in. If you're a Christian, you don't have to ask him to come in. He's already in. If he isn't in there, you're not a Christian. Jesus Christ is bodily at the right hand of the Father. In the person of the Holy Spirit, which is really the other self of Jesus, he's in the bodies of the saints in this world. The God that inhabits eternity. And the Holy Ghost is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a person. Just as much a person as God's a person. Just as much a person as Jesus was a person. Now the Holy Spirit is coming back, he said. The Comforter. He'll be with you. A Comforter is someone that stimulates or invigorates us or soothes our loneliness or sorrow or helps us along the way, gives us strength, encourages us to go ahead, you see. All right, now, how will that happen? Well, the Holy Spirit will come and testify of Jesus Christ. That's what he does now. He convicts people of sin. He reproves them of sin. Now, what sin? Of sin because they believe not on Jesus. That's the beginning now. Righteousness, of course, and judgment to come, of course. But his main business is to reprove people of sin because they believe not on Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit says in a certain way, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You rejected the Son of God. He came from heaven to this earth and you men spat in his face and nailed him to a cross. Well, you know the world can never explain that away. Think of it. The only sinless, absolutely sinless person that lived from babyhood till he was about 33 years old and never committed a sin. And the world put him on a cross and treated him worse than he's ever treated anybody ever been here. wasn't ever treated a murderer, no traitor, no human being ever lived, however vile he may have been, was ever treated like this world treated Jesus Christ. And yet people talk about the divinity of human nature and pat mankind on the back. Let me tell you something. You belong to a bad race, brother. We belong to a fallen race, the Adamic race, a race so wicked that even religion and democracy and individuals and paganism, all of it, the human race, military, political, religious, all of it got together and took the one sinless person and nailed him to a cross and spat in his face and put a crown of thorns on his brow. And let me tell you something, you belong to the race that did that. And anything that any sinner ever did, you could do under proper provocation. There isn't a crime ever been committed by any sinner on earth that every other sinner under proper provocation and temptation could not commit. You say, well, I couldn't do so and so. Listen, if you gave yourself up to sin, you could. If you lifted all restraints, you could. Any sin, you belong to the same race. The people right there that stood around Calvary were just like us. Same kind of folks we are. Same sort of people. There were the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, and there they were. There were the religious bosses gathered around there, egging the crowd on, there they were. There were the rank and file of people crying for the blood of the only sinless person the world ever saw. And let me tell you something, that's conviction on the human race. The world rejected Jesus Christ. Humanity rejected him. Now, in the group there were some individuals, helpless, weak individuals that loved him and trusted him. And yet, his disciples, they were cowardly, most of them. In the awful hour of tragedy, they didn't stand up like they should have stood. One of them swore he didn't know him, and yet the grace of God was so wonderful that that preacher that swore he didn't know him was preaching on the day of Pentecost and the beginning of this great dispensation in which we live when the Holy Ghost was poured out on that great occasion. Oh, how matchless the grace of God is. And he said, now I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. The Comforter will come, and he'll talk to you about me. He'll testify of me. He'll testify. He'll stimulate you. In the midst of all the persecutions, in the midst of all the battles you have to fight, in the midst of all the conflict, you have the Holy Spirit with you to comfort you and stimulate you and invigorate you to do the job for God. Listen, you're not alone. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even the end of the age. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, yes, men and women, you still have Jesus with you. He's up in heaven in bodily form at the right hand of the Father. Up there with his scars in his hands, and scars on his brow, and scars in his feet, and a wounded place in his side. He's up there, carrying those scars. And those scars are not only the marks of love, and not only the marks of regeneration and redemption and all that, but there's some other kind of marks. Those marks were put on him by a wicked world. There's a wicked world, a wicked human race that drove those nails in his hands and the spike through his feet. There's a wicked human world, human race that stuck that spear into his side. Oh, what a wicked world. Listen, the same kind of spittle that men have in their mouths still was the same sort of spittle that was in his beard when he hung on that cross. That's the world. That's the world. Don't talk to me about beautiful, lovely, marvelous, divine human nature. Don't talk to me about that kind of stuff. You can't think of them treating a criminal like they treated Jesus Christ. Why, we'd say if there's a man out here today, the vilest criminal that ever lived in this country, and a mighty mob gathered around him like that, we'd say that's horrible. That's horrible that people do that sort of thing. And yet here's the sinless Son of God. Never had to say, forgive my sins. All he'd done was to love people. He fed them when they were hungry. He opened the eyes of those who were blind and touched a poor leper and cured him and spake as never man spake and lived his life in the world before man. Jesus came into the darkness and lighted up the darkness, and men hated him because he was good and they were bad, and they killed him for being good. They put him on a cross for being good. That's what they did to Jesus. Oh, they tried to frame him, but they couldn't frame him. There wasn't anything to frame him, and the judge told him so. The judge said there's nothing against him. I've tried him. I can't find anything wrong with him. I don't want his blood on my hands. And there they were, reject him. Oh, what a sin. What a race you and I belong to. But wait a minute, let me give you one little hope. The men that went out there like those disciples, one of them swore he didn't know him. The rest of them, after the Holy Ghost came upon them, went out to die for him. And down the ages, men have laid down their lives, and they've suffered for him. Little children and men and women who went out and were fed to wild beasts and went to the furnace of fire and suffered all kinds of agony rather than deny the Lord. Oh, yes, his grace is sufficient. He can take poor, miserable human nature like our human nature and can save us miserable, lost, helpless sinners if we'll come to him and admit that we are sinners. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come, the O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am in waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Here I am, Lord. Can't save myself, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. Long to a fallen race, a race that rejected Christ, a race that has the blood of thy Son on his hands. Oh, how wonderful it is that God Almighty would be merciful to such sinners as we, isn't it? And listen just a minute. I read in the Bible about men crucifying him afresh. Why, you say, I didn't do it. Yes, you did it. Your sins did it. Your sins did it. And when he hung on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, but you know what you are doing. You know what you are doing. He can't pray that prayer for you. You know what you are doing. May God help you to trust him and yield your life to him and surrender completely to him and be all out for him. Because if you suffer with him, someday you'll reign with him. Our Heavenly Father, we pray you help us to be what we ought to be. Forgive us poor Christians. We are so blundering along the way and making so many failures. Forgive us and have mercy upon us. Help us Christians have courage to stand. Help us not to be weak and wavering, but help us to be firm, strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Pray bless any who've listened in today that may not be saved. Help them to trust Jesus Christ. Help them yield themselves to him. It's a terrible thing to think about the shadow of that cross reaching down the years. We couldn't help what those people did back there. We couldn't help our being born into the world with the Adamic race. We can't help what Adam and Eve did, but we can help what we're doing. We don't have to reject Jesus Christ. We can accept God's Son. We can put God in his proper place in our lives. Help us to do it. May we yield ourselves completely and unconditionally, unreservedly to him. May we be all he'd have us be. Help us, Lord, somebody somewhere listening now to trust you. And help us Christians this morning dedicate our lives anew to thee to be faithful in all things. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.